W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Supporters of former President Trump in New Hampshire. CBS News projects Trump will win the primary, easily eclipsing Nikki Haley, who Trump wasn't pleased with.
This is not your typical victory speech, but let's not have somebody take a victory when she had a very bad night.
Haley says she will compete in her home state a month from now, but CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns says it won't be easy for her.
Thank you for the love, New Hampshire. We're going home to South Carolina.
Nikki Haley vowing to move on as she takes second here in New Hampshire, but it is important to note that the battle ahead is even more uphill. New Hampshire provided a very favorable electorate for Nikki Haley. 45%, according to the exit polls, identified as independent voters. These were voters that she was targeting.
Attack American interests and you will feel the heat. CBS's Charlie Daggett says U.S. officials believe the latest attacks on Houthi rebels in Yemen have, quote, degraded their ability to attack merchant ships in the Red Sea.
The joint U.S.-UK strike hit 8 Houthi targets today, an attack smaller in scope compared to when allies launched jets from the same Eisenhower aircraft carrier and Cyprus 11 days ago, striking more than 60.
A committee of the Florida House of Representatives is backing a proposal that would require state-issued ID and cards and driver's licenses to reflect a person's sex assigned at birth. CBS's Allison Keyes has that.
The bill's Republican sponsor, Doug Bankston, says the licenses would be tied to the scientific standard of birth sex. The bill would also require insurance companies and health plans that cover gender-affirming care such as hormone replacement therapy to cover the cost of so-called conversion therapy.
Formula One is returning to Madrid, says CBS's Monica Ricks.
And Formula One is racing!
Spanish authorities signed a 10-year deal to get the Spanish Grand Prix back to the capital in 2026. The event's expected to attract about 110,000 fans a day, making it one of the largest venues on the F1 calendar. And organizers say it'll be environmentally friendly, held on a hybrid track, including potential indoor sections.
This year's Spanish Grand Prix will still be held in Barcelona in June. Los Angeles County's annual count of homeless residents has begun. Up to 6,000 volunteers fanned out Tuesday night to count people living on the street. The count will take place over 3 days, and results are expected to be released in late spring or early summer. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers voted to amend a bill to ban abortion after 14 weeks on Tuesday. The amendment allowed exceptions for rape and incest and requires doctors to make reasonable efforts to preserve the life of a fetus during a medical emergency. The bill got a public hearing on Monday where both Democrats and pro-life activists railed against the bill. Governor Evers has said that he would not sign the bill if it made it to his desk. President Biden will be back in town on Thursday. He plans to talk about his administration's efforts to rebuild the nation's infrastructure in Superior. Wisconsin and Minnesota are getting $1 billion to replace the Blatnick Bridge connecting Superior to Duluth, thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure bill. The president's visit comes after Vice President Kamala Harris visited the Waukesha area on Monday. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks have fired their head coach. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks announcing today that 49-year-old Adrian Griffin is out as the team's head coach just 43 games into his first season in Milwaukee. Griffin hired last June to replace Mike Budenholzer. The announcement a surprise since the team has an overall record of 30-13, 3.5 games behind Boston at the top of the Eastern Conference. ESPN analyst and former player Kendrick Perkins.
The writing has been on the wall since the start of the season. Right, when you look at the Bucks defense, it has been horrible. And the fact of the matter is that Adrian Griffin never had a voice and never had the locker room from the start of training camp. And now we're seeing this happen, which is still surprising.
The Bucs rank in the bottom 10 for defensive play. The word is the team may be interested in 62-year-old Doc Rivers, a former Marquette player, as a replacement. Again, the Bucs firing their head coach today, Adrian Griffin, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and patchy fog in the overnight with lows in the upper 20s, light winds. On Wednesday, fog will persist along with a cloud cover. We could also see some rain, freezing rain and freezing drizzle across the area. Highs in the middle 30s. It's 30 at our studios.
Hey, this is Aaron from the Todd Allbaugh Show. Just letting you know that on Wednesday, the 24th, Todd will be back with us live in Wausau. So join us then from noon to 2.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair coming to you live from my kitchen. And Greg Buck and Sweet Kelsey on the board in beautiful downtown Waukesha. How are you doing this morning, guys? This is really strange.
I feel like we're getting a look into the world of Jane Matt Nair.
Yes, my kitchen, such as it is, this is it. I chickened out for the first time in what I've been doing this for 43 years.
Yeah.
And when we were texting last night, Greg, and I said, my Subaru can get me through any kind of snow. It has never failed me, but yeah. Ice always wins. And so I just was really hesitant about heading out on the roads today because of these icy conditions. And as I look at this, 511wi.gov, there are a whole bunch of accidents scattered around Milwaukee and Madison, even around Green Bay and Eau Claire. So you really want to be careful when you're out on the roads this morning. If you ever want to join us, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Or you can leave a comment on the live stream. Check out my kitchen on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We have a very busy show coming up today. Dan Schaefer will be here at 10:30, as he usually is on Tuesdays, to recombobulate. And then at 11:50, Wine and Weather, Weather and Wine with our Civic Media meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. She'll join us at 11:50 for a little update on what is going on with the weather. But I wanted to start off with this, and Tammy brings it home again. I think this is good news.
Yeah.
After 2 years of supporting this, Tammy Baldwin delivered bipartisan infrastructure law funding to replace a vital bridge for Wisconsin's economy and safety. So Wisconsin and Minnesota getting more than $1.05 billion in order to replace the Blatnik Bridge, which connects Superior to Duluth. I've only been on that bridge once. My sister and I were in Bayfield a number of summers ago, and we decided to go to Duluth Superior. I'd never been there. That is one scary bridge.
I've traversed it a couple of times. I'm not a fan of bridges myself because, you know, they're almost always safe, but it's that almost where you're just like, this feels long and rickety.
Yes. And I mean, we were there at the end of August, beginning of September. I cannot imagine what people who live in Duluth and Superior, what they do in the wintertime. I would just stay on one side of the river.
I was just saying they'd probably stay home.
Yeah, I would just stay there until spring, and I know that I'm not going to die on the Blatnik Bridge. So this is terrific news. I am so impressed by Tammy Baldwin bringing home things to actually, I don't know, directly benefit her constituents, which seems like a positive. And then President Biden will also be swinging by. He's going to be in Superior this coming Thursday to talk about his economic agenda and rebuilding infrastructure, lowering costs, spurring a small business boom, and creating good paying jobs. We don't have exact details on when President Biden is going to be in Superior, but I'm sure that our news department will be covering that once we get more specifics.
Absolutely. And if you think about it, Vice President Harris, President Biden, I almost said President Obama, President Biden, and Tammy Baldwin bringing money home. I mean, this is a big week for Washington and Wisconsin. I mean, it's I feel like they're trying to tell us something. They're trying to do a little, you know, I mean, what Vice President Harris yesterday was talking about was an important message, but President Biden's doing what he needs to do is tell the state, the people, the country, we're on track. We're moving forward. We have been for a while.
Yes.
And this is just a piece of the puzzle.
Well, and now it's finally, I think people are finally starting to see in real time the effect these dollars are having in their own communities, including roads and replacing lead lines. And that's happening all over the city of Milwaukee. And I'm sure that's happening in other municipalities as well. And these are dollars from the infrastructure bill and numerous other, in many instances, bipartisan measures that the president was able to pass. Now, what's interesting about this, and I spent a little time on this last night after I saw that President Baldwin's office about bringing this money here, about all of the Republicans now who are so excited about getting this money.
Oh, boy.
And yet they never voted for any of these measures.
No, no.
Interesting how that happens.
And, this is something that seems to happen all the time. Every time the government says, hey, here's money, and here's money for, a infrastructure, they're like, we don't want it. And then behind the scenes, they're like, can I have like $50 million, please? Thank you very much.
Well, and it's even worse than that. It's like, nope, I voted against it. And then when they got the money, it's like, look what I did for us.
Yeah, I remember.
Look what I brought for you, my constituents.
I remember a certain former Wisconsin Speaker of the House who just could not stop complaining about the Recovery Act over and over all the time. And I worked in his district. And I'm like, you asked for $30 million.
Oh.
You know, those earmarks that you talked, they were so bad. They were so awful. Ooh, earmarks. They were like ghosts. But no, they're going to be on C-SPAN, they're going to be on the Sunday shows, they're going to be on whatever news network that aligns with their politics, and they're going to lambast all these things. But, you know, people don't pay attention to those votes. So when they see people, and they're like, you know, yeah, can I have some of that money? No one knows that's happening. And all of a sudden, they're coming home with $20, $30, $50 million for their home state, home district. And they're really excited about it.
They are real excited about it once they get it. And that's why I think it's important, I don't know, to just point out a couple of these examples.
What?
That I know that just kind of jumped out at me. For instance.
Not that we have a list.
And I might have cribbed a couple of things together. So, for instance, Representative Pete Stauber, who is from Minnesota, put on Twitter, I am proud to announce that Duluth, Minnesota and Superior, Wisconsin have received over $1 billion in federal funding to help replace the Blatnik Bridge. This is a huge win for Minnesota 8. I was proud to advocate for these funds. Now, that was shared by Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who then said, oh boy, I hate to talk politics when there's good news to celebrate, but this is just too brazen to ignore. Mr. Stauber voted against every screw, steel beam, and concrete pier in this bridge. Luckily, POTUS worked with Stauber's colleagues and got it done without him. Thank you, Joe Biden.
it never stops. I'm sure they tell him day one, they're like, go ahead, vote against it. You're still going to get money if you ask. And you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and then you're going to be celebrating it and crowing about all the hard work you did for your constituents. Texas Representative Republican Kay Granger voted against the bipartisan infrastructure bill, said in 2021 it was a, quote, socialist plan full of crushing taxes and radical spending, unquote. When she got $400 million approved for flooding control in her district in Fort Worth, she said, quote, this is a great day for Fort Worth, unquote, without mentioning where the Corps of Engineers was getting the money. She did, however, thank the agency for its hard work and tireless commitment to make her community safer.
No thanks to Biden, not one bit. I don't know if we have an applause, anything. I'd like to give an applause break for Kay Granger, Representative Kay Granger. This was that quote, you hear me a golf clap in there, socialist plan full of crushing taxes and radical spending. I mean, you were just hitting every buzzword in that press release, scaring the bejeebers out of your constituents, crushing taxes and socialism because we want to help make your bridges safer.
Safer. If you're just joining us, we are talking about building bridges. Tammy Baldwin announcing this week that she has helped secure $1 billion to improve the Blatnik Bridge, which connects Superior and Duluth, Minnesota. Scary bridge. I really applaud you people who have to drive over that bridge every day. If you want to join us, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can also leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. In Louisiana, Representative Steve Scalise highlighted $400 million in initiatives made possible by the law to mitigate flooding. Representative Clay Hittigan's district got $190 million for waterway improvements, but he said he's against, quote, the infrastructure bill in its totality based on unwavering principle.
Okay.
I know. And then he said, but there are certain elements in the bill that my office does support. Oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
A spokesman for Scalise said he's long promoted funding for projects, but it's, quote, unfortunate Democrats decided to play politics with infrastructure and instead loaded their bill with unrelated liberal agenda items.
Like socialism and crushing taxes.
What does that mean?
Loading
the bill with liberal. Is that, I mean, all the construction crews on this bridge now have to do a YMCA break when they take lunch?
They're all, we only hire communist workers.
What's involved with all of this, you know, liberal agenda items squished into these bills? I'm not seeing them.
Yeah. And I would like, actually, you know, before we have to answer it, I feel like they should answer it. When they make the claim, they should answer what they're talking about. Because it's just, as long as it's coming from the other side, it's awful.
Well, we can't give the other side a win.
No, never, never. Whether it's state or federal or local, it's always nope, nope, nope. And as soon as it goes through, money, please.
And look what I did for you.
America.
Because I care about you.
Jane, I know you care about, I know you care about me.
I do care about you and Calvin. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Join us. Matt Nair on air, coming to you live. I don't have to push these buttons now. It's so weird. On the Civic Media Radio Network.
Radio WFHR.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, and Calvin B on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Coming up in just a little bit, Dan Schaefer will be here at 1033. We will recombobulate. I have a feeling we're going to be talking about fair maps and much, much more. Also next hour, Greg, we're going to talk about the Oscars. The Oscar nominations came out this morning, and there are some pretty big snubs, at least in one of the acting categories that we will be kicking around.
I know Twitter is not a great place to be, but there are going to be a lot of upset people today.
It's going to get ugly.
Yeah.
It's going to get ugly. Right now, we're talking about building bridges, and the good news is that thanks to the Biden infrastructure plan, there is $1 billion that's going to a bridge project linking Duluth and Superior, Wisconsin. The Blatnik Bridge has been in need of improvements for a number of years. So Tammy Baldwin touting that this economic funding is coming this way. It's been something that she's been advocating for the last couple of years, and now it has finally happened. I would especially love to hear from you if you live in Superior and you go over that bridge, what your experiences have been on the Blatnik Bridge. I've only crossed it a couple of times. I thought it was terrifying. Maybe it's my age. That stuff didn't ever used to bother me, but I found that one particularly intimidating. It led us to talking about how, depending upon which political party you belong to, when things like this get passed, it's all bad if the other side is doing it. It's bad, 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 full of socialist things, and it's tax crushing and all this until the money actually comes to their district. And then everybody's like, look what I did for you.
Yeah.
Even though I voted against this for you.
Yeah. And we got a text from 541, Andrew from Maine. Said, since when did the American people become, quote, the other side? That's very, very
good
point.
Oh, that's a really good point, Andrew.
Because, you know, when those politicians are voting against each other and not letting them get wins, they're not letting the people get wins. And ultimately, we're the ones who vote for you. We're the ones you work for. And when you play these games between each other, we are kind of, we're the prize. And that doesn't feel good.
Yeah, I sometimes feel like they look at us like the booby prize.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We're you know, as long as we're looking at our phones and eating our fast food, they're not paying attention.
They're not paying attention. Exactly. Well, we kind of pay a little attention. I was just looking for some quotes that might fit in to this narrative. Representative Ashley Hinson from Iowa on January 19th posted, breaking, we secured $829 million in federal funding to upgrade locks and dams along the Upper Mississippi River. This is a game changer for Iowa's ag industry and our Mississippi River communities. Ruh-roh.
But
California Democratic Representative Eric Swalwell says, come on, tell the truth, Ashley Hinson. You didn't vote for this bill. You voted for a dam collapse. If you had your way, your neighbors would be underwater. Thankfully, House Democrats passed the bill, and we did your job. Give me a break.
We did your damn job. He used damn twice. Eric Swalwell, just write movies that write for a TV show. I don't know, but I adore that man so much.
But this also goes back to, Greg, what we've talked about before, which are the issues at the southern border. Mm-hmm. And I think we all agree there are problems at the southern border.
Yes.
And yet there is this reluctance to do anything about it. And Republican Chip Roy from Texas said it out loud. He said, I am not going to do anything that is going to give the Biden administration a win.
Even though the
Biden just said it out loud.
Even though the Biden administration is giving them, I think, $12 or $13 billion to help secure the borders. Like, no, it's we don't want that. Not from you. Not from you.
Not from
and,
you.
And also what you just said, very true, is this isn't just a border issue. This is an immigration issue which needs to be solved at every end of the country from top to bottom, left to right, meaning we have to not just look at our borders. We have to look at our courts. We have to look at our processes. We have to look at our applications, the paperwork, everything to make it not easier, not easy, a little simpler. So that way people aren't languishing, waiting for their court date that could be 2, 3, 4, 5 years away.
It shouldn't take 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
It shouldn't take 7 years.
Yeah.
And if we want things to work more smoothly and more efficiently, it's going to take, as you said, Greg, it's going to take more agents.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take more courts. It's going to take more courtroom workers to help process these things.
Yes.
And help speed up this process. And whether or not this is valid or not, I don't know. But someone did say on Twitter this morning, maybe we have such a crush at the border because every time Republicans are on camera, they say the border's open.
Well, yeah, because that's the easiest. It's just like what we were saying before, like crushing taxes, socialist agendas. You say the borders are weak or there are no borders. It whips people up in a frenzy and it gets them some shares of that 24-hour news market. And then they get to go back to their office and not do anything of substance.
It's a good gig if you can get it.
Yeah.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, if you would like to join us. I know that Earl Ingram is going to be having Senator Ron Johnson on his show on Friday, and there's a lot of interest about that. And I also believe that the senator has agreed to take questions. I believe they might be submitted in written form, but that's certainly something. If you want to talk about who is doing things for their Wisconsin constituents that are actually tangible, I think this is a good opportunity.
Yeah,
to ask him what he's done.
I would
like to know what the senator believes he has accomplished for his Wisconsin constituents.
Participate in the process. He'll be here or will be taking care of it. I think it'll be an interesting interview. And
absolutely.
Get yourself ready because this is a big deal. This is a big deal to have someone of his stature in the room. And I hope it's a great sit down. I hope it's a great chat.
Oh, I think it will be. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Earl does an incredible job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it will be very, very interesting. So make sure you plot out some time for Friday. If you can't listen live, that's not a problem. You can always download the app. You can listen to the podcast and listen that way a little bit later on. So it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful program that is going to be this coming Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. Senator Ron Johnson live with us in studio in downtown Waukesha. Okay, stay close. When we return, Dan Schaefer will be here. We will recombobulate.
Yeah.
You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. From your point.
is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. CBS News projects Donald Trump has won the New Hampshire primary. He told supporters his election is necessary to save the nation.
We are going to win this. We have no choice. If we don't win, I think our country is finished. I do. I believe our country is finished.
Nikki Haley came in second after coming in third in Iowa, but she says she's staying in the race.
Thank you for the love, New Hampshire. We're going home to South Carolina.
The next contest is in Haley's home state in about a month. Days after Iranian-backed militias in Iraq hit a military base in the country, wounding American troops, the U.S. has launched more attacks on facilities used by those militias, says CBS's Charlie Daggett.
Forces conducted unilateral strikes against three facilities used by Iranian-backed militias in Iraq, including headquarters, storage, and training locations.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Tony Evers delivered his State of the State address Tuesday night. He said that in order to address the state's workforce challenges, the legislature needs to address the child care crisis in Wisconsin. He has repeatedly called on Republicans to invest state dollars into child care providers across the state. Without it, he said that over 2,100 child care centers across the state may soon close. A new study says more people graduated from college between 2010 and 2020 and increased their earnings by $14 trillion. People are doing better across society, but some racial groups still lag.
What we have here is a race in which everybody is running faster, but no group is really changing their position in the race.
Tony Carnival heads the Georgetown University Center that did the study. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and patchy fog in the overnight with lows of the upper 20s, light winds. On Wednesday, fog will persist along with a cloud cover. We could also see some rain, freezing rain and drizzle and freezing drizzle across the area. Highs in the middle 30s. It's 30 at our studios.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff on the board, and we are joined as we are every Tuesday at this time. Time to recombobulate with the award-winning Dan Schaefer. Good morning, Dan. How are you doing?
Good morning, everyone. Happy to be here.
Glad to have you along. A little weird. I'm working from home today. I didn't want to go out with the ice, and I would just check that 511wi.gov map to see what accidents are going around. Much better than it was about an hour ago, but still some accidents in Green Bay, in Madison, a couple in Milwaukee. Dan, is it particularly icy down where you are on the east side?
Yeah, I just had to drive downtown and back, and it's a little slippery out. It's not so great. So plan ahead. And it's, you know, it's also the situation where we have a lot of drivers acting like it's their first time driving in rain or inclement weather. So plan for that as well.
I got a truck. It's got four wheels. I'm going crazy.
Yes, and yet the laws of physics apply to everyone equally. So just keep that in mind as you're skidding down the roadway. And I heard, too, that even in downtown Milwaukee, there's some pretty icy sidewalks and stuff. So folks need to be careful.
Yep.
Brittany Merlot, our civic media meteorologist, is going to join us with a weather update at 11:50 for a little weather and wine. So stick around for that. We'll see what's going to be coming up next if we have more rain and or snow and whatnot. Right now, though, whatnot. We're talking fair maps, Dan. You just posted a new piece. You took another look at the 7 maps that were submitted. Is that correct?
Actually, it's 6 now, but
6.
The 6 maps that were submitted, that one of the maps was it kind of flew under the radar last week, but was rejected by the Wisconsin Supreme Court because they were not a party to the case in the map. So the map that was drawn by a UWM professor who used a algorithm he called FastMap, that is no longer one of the 7. So
okay.
it looked at the 6 active options, and the of those 6, the vast majority of them would significantly increase the number of closely contested competitive elections. So I think, you know, one of the things that that I've found through, you know, previewing every race on the map at the recombobulation area in the last couple of election cycles, the way I did, was that, you know, the gerrymander, obviously, for one thing, it gave Republicans huge, you know, impenetrable advantages in their majority in the Wisconsin state legislature. It also significantly reduced the number of competitive elections. You know, they drew a lot of deep red districts and a lot of deep blue districts, and not a whole lot in between. In the 2022 election, only 8 of 99 assembly races were decided by less than 10%. So it just has not been that all that competitive. There's you know, just a few races here and there in some of the swingier parts of the state that were particularly competitive. But one of the things that these new map submissions would do is significantly increase the number of elections that would project to have a margin of less than 5%. You know, between 5 and 10%, and between 10 and 15%. So I really took a deep dive, broke that all down. New column up today. You can take a look at all of that at the recombobulation area.
I'm curious, Dan, what are considered the swingiest part of the state?
Yeah, I think, you know, in the past few election cycles, there's been some races in La Crosse County. There've been races in the Fox Valley. And there have been races in the Milwaukee suburbs and in the far northwest corner of the state in the Superior area. So I think those have been you know, really stood out as, you know, really some of the only closely contested races in the assembly in the last election cycle. But, you know, the legislative Republicans, when they submitted their new map, it's basically the same map as they had used before. And they're under their map, it would project to have only 6 races with a margin of less than 5%, 7 races between 5 and 10%, and just 9 between 10 and 15%, 24 total competitive districts using the formula that I used to analyze this. That is far fewer than the number that we might see for other ones. Even the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, right-wing organization, they kind of did the assignment the way legislative Republicans didn't. They would have 15 races that would project to be under 5% margin. And that there are some others that are like that as well. So there could be dozens of competitive races in the Wisconsin state legislature when last year that number was in the single digits. And I think that would be a really, really good thing for Wisconsin, because I think competition can bring out our best. Mm. You know, when we have a level playing field, competition can bring out our best. We could have candidates actually speaking to the majority of Wisconsinites and not just speaking to the fringes to fend off a primary challenge. You know, speaking to, I don't know, Medicaid expansion, marijuana legalization, gun safety, abortion rights, all these different issues that that have had majority support in Wisconsin and have gone and ignored under Republican control. I think having more competitive elections will create an environment where hopefully you have candidates moving to the middle a little bit, trying to win over some more of those swing voters. So I think, you know, having more competition in the state legislature would be a really, really good thing and would be a big reversal from how things have been going in there for so many years.
Well, and again, I go back to the election of Justice Janet Protasiewicz and the overwhelming victory she had. And I firmly believe from the bottom of my heart that Wisconsinites don't want it rigged one way or the other. We don't respect cheaters. We don't like people who cheat. And we want to have a fair fight. And as we've talked about too, Dan, it's that much easier to have the outliers on the fringes be successful in these heavily gerrymandered districts when the moderate candidate can't get any traction. So I agree with you. This is going to be good for all of us. And it's not like it's going to set up a whole slew of Democratic wins all across the board and Democrats are going to take control and get a supermajority. None of these maps are going to make that plausible, are they?
No, and I think all of the submissions here, and, you know, we don't know exactly what might be selected or what might be taken from each of these or what the court-appointed consultants might ultimately do when they issue an opinion next week on February 1st. But I think no matter what happens, we're headed in a direction where we're going to have more competitive elections. It was, you know, you really look at what the Republican maps that they submitted, it's just there's one clear outlier here. And it is the map from legislative Republicans. And, you know, I gave you the numbers from the assembly. In the Senate, legislative Republicans had four races with less than a 5% margin, zero in the 5 to 10%. That number's in the double digits for just about every other map for less than 10% margin in the state Senate. And that's a third of the state Senate that would have, you know, much more competitive elections than what we've seen. So there's really one clear outlier. Republicans just kind of didn't do the assignment. The court said, you need to, you know, consider partisan impact. You need to get rid of the least change. Nope, Republicans just didn't do the assignment, hoping that they'll somehow get bailed out of this process and they'll be able to keep their ridiculous entrenched majorities, which would be awful. And we need change. And like you said, the people of Wisconsin spoke loud and clear in the spring election last year by electing Janet Protasiewicz by a double digit margin to have real change for issues like this in Wisconsin.
If you're just joining us, we are recombobulating with Dan Schaefer, as we do every Tuesday from this time. And we're at this time, and we're talking about the submission now of the six maps that are under consideration. So what is the next step then, Dan? What happens next Wednesday or February 1st?
Yeah, well, I believe the parties involved in the case filed a brief, you know, just kind of responding to the map submissions from a week or so ago. Yesterday. And then there are two court appointed consultants that are kind of going to be overseeing this process. They will issue a report of sorts on these maps next week on February 1st. And either they will, you know, they might adopt, you know, one of these map submissions. They could potentially use, you know, parts of the best parts of some of these and cobble together their own map. They might just redraw their own map as well, if what they feel in the submissions did not meet the criteria set forth by the Wisconsin Supreme Court in their ruling late last year. So could go a lot of different directions. And you know, depending on what happens in the Wisconsin state legislature as well, there could be some additional factors to consider too.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I emailed you last night when I saw something that I believe it was Scott Ross from the Associated Press posted on Twitter about what could be some potential shenanigans. I find it so hard to believe that our elected officials would ever engage in shenanigans.
Yeah. Robin Voss and the Wisconsin State Legislature engaging in last-minute shenanigans and doing it on the day of the governor's State of the State speech.
Oh, stop it.
You know, I couldn't put it past these guys. They're always always on the up and up. No. J.R. Ross from Wisconsin Politics reported last night that the state Senate plans to convene today to take up an assembly bill implementing what some are referring to as an Iowa-style redistricting process, as I've written at the recombobulation area.
That's not it.
The Iowa-style redistricting process. It cuts the Supreme Court oversight out of the process and gives the legislature final approval if there's an impasse. So, it's a plan with a whole lot of trapdoors, and you know who likes to exploit trapdoors is Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. So I don't think this plan should be taken seriously by Democrats or independent voters in the state. But I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do, because they have a plan, a session scheduled for 3 p.m. today. You know, the State of the State speech is obviously happening this evening. I don't want to do like the Brian Windhorst meme. Just stay aware of what's happening in the Wisconsin State Legislature today.
Deep cut.
There could be shenanigans afoot.
Deep cut there, Dan.
Well, and I can't find the quote now from Robin Voss, but essentially he says, I don't want this to stay in the court. You know, he really wants the legislature to be the ones to draw these maps, because otherwise there can be all kinds of legal challenges. And he doesn't want to waste the taxpayers' money, you guys. He is so fiscally responsible when it comes to our taxpayer dollars. I just feel warm all over, because I know Robin is being such a good steward of our dollars.
I mean, examples of that conservatism fiscally there, Jane, some ideas on how he likes to not spend our money on trips and, you know,
pointless election investigations to the tune of $2 million until the point where you didn't get any of the answers that you were hoping you were going to get. And then the guy you hired sided with the woman you don't like, and then you fired him. And but he's concerned about his constituents' money, you guys.
Good man, Robin Voss.
We can go to sleep knowing that.
Yeah. If you want to know more about Robin Voss's fiscal responsibility, just Google Michael Gableman cost.
And you really should, because I don't think I'm wrong in remembering it this way, but when Michael Gableman submitted some of his expenses, they were all on like scraps of paper. It wasn't even on a spreadsheet. It was just like, you know, snacks.
Come on, Jane. He doesn't have time for spreadsheets.
Handwritten on scraps of... I'm remembering that right, aren't I, Dan?
You are, yeah. Yeah, it was ridiculous. But here we are, you know, talking fiscal responsibility.
All right.
But yeah, I would be, you know, just pay attention to what's happening with that. I don't have enough information to share anything with you on air right now, but I would pay attention to that 3 p.m. session today.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Always lots of things going on in Wisconsin. Stay with us. We will continue recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. You are listening to Matt Mayer on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most.
From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. So happy to have you along. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, and we are joined as we are every Tuesday at this time. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. If you have a question for Dan or you want to make a comment, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Or leave a message on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Talking with Dan, who just published a new column on the Recombobulation Area about the six maps that are now being considered. And the due date is February 1st. What happens after that?
Well, after that, it's going to be a mad dash to try and get to get maps approved in some fashion by March 15th. March 15th is the date that the Wisconsin Elections Commission needs to have new maps in place so that the candidates who would be running in these races can start, you know, filing their, getting their signatures and getting their nomination papers in and all of that. So that's kind of where things are on the timeline, at least. I think, you know, there's a little bit murky as to what exactly is going to happen once these consultants, you know, issue their report or, you know, draw their own maps or whatever it might be. But the between now and March 15th is when hopefully this all will be happening. Hopefully we will have new maps in place for the 2024 election. And right now, everything is on track for that to be the case.
So you really think this can happen? You do?
I do, yeah. I think the most likely outcome is that we do get new maps. I think there are possibilities that, that it doesn't. I think those are slim. I think the challenge that that the petitioners crafted, making this specifically a challenge to the state constitution, which is what the U.S. Supreme Court essentially asked state courts to do, or state people at the state level to do, instead of bringing redistricting cases to federal court. And, you know, everything I'm hearing right now is that we're on track to have new maps by the 2024 election.
Well, I think that would make a lot of people really happy. And I think a lot of people after the next election will also be surprised, because certainly those who are against new maps are predicting that this is all going to, you know, go against them in the end. And I don't think that's going to be the case. I just think, like most people, and like you have said too, Dan, this is about creating more competitive districts instead of just locking things up for people so they can stay in office for decade after decade after decade. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Andrew from Maine, if the race becomes more competitive, does that indicate an increase in annoying political ads for even longer?
Wow, Andrew, way to ruin a good time.
Well, I think we all get tired of the constant bombardment of negative ads.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's just at the end. I mean, I remember, I think it was last year, it was Mandela versus Ron Johnson. I saw 9 Mandela ads in 4 minutes. They were just piling on top of each other, just over. So at one point you're like, I'm just going to read books. I can't do this.
Well, and at that point, those messages just don't cut through anymore. So yeah. I'm not quite sure what their ad buyers are doing when they do that. I think people just tune out. We get exhausted by it.
Well, and in races like this, you know, state legislative races, it's one thing for, like, you know, to be blanketing the airwaves for a statewide race for Senate or governor or president or whatever. A lot of these state legislative races rely so significantly on the ground game about direct contact with voters, about knocking doors, making calls, and really organizing and talking to people. And I think, you know, I think that's such an important factor in this, too. You're going to get some annoying mailers. You might see a couple annoying ads. But I think, you know, the more competitive that these elections could become could bring out a better environment. We've seen over and over again, you know, how certain policies that have majority support go rejected or obstructed or just disregarded entirely by the Republican majority. And, you know, Robin Voss has repeatedly said he's attributed his party's strong performance in legislative elections to the caliber of candidates running in those races. But I think you and he says it's, you know, it's not because of the gerrymandered maps. It's because we have
not
better candidates. We run on better issues, whatever it might be. I think this will be a pretty interesting test of that theory. Sure. If we have more competitive elections and not a, you know, races, maps drawn to just eliminate competition in so many ways, like he has done in as the leader of the Republican legislature.
And very successfully. 844-967-2789. Paul from Kenosha is joining us. Thank you so much for joining us, Paul. What did you want to say?
Hello.
Good morning.
Hey, Paul.
I think it's really underappreciated how much good fairer maps really are, because regardless of which party is doing the gerrymandering, it actually drives representatives from both parties to be more and more extreme. The more Republicans gerrymander, you get more extreme Democrats. And the more Democrats gerrymander, you get more extreme Republicans. So the fairer the maps are, you'll get more moderate candidates and candidates that are more reflective of the population.
You're absolutely right, Paul. You're absolutely right. Thank you so much for calling and thank you so much for listening. I think that's, we don't want it locked up for one side or the other. We just want it to be fair. And in making it more fair and more equitable, that will encourage more people who might actually genuinely have an interest in doing something for their constituents to take a shot.
We froze on Jane right there, but I think what the point was is more people have the opportunity to run for office. And that's something we talked about last week as well, is like, with these new maps, the amount of people who will be empowered to run for various offices will be very cool to see.
And I think this if we do get these new maps, this projects to be the most competitive state legislative election we've had in Wisconsin in a generation. And I think that's going to be really interesting to see who jumps into the race, you know, where people are going to be allocating some of those resources. Hopefully, you know, I know there's a lot of national big money out there going towards the president. I think it would be great if some of those donors really invest in what's happening in the Assembly and Senate too, because there's going to be a lot more competition than we've ever seen before.
Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area, thank you so much for joining us. As always, we love having you here. And if you are listening to this show right now, go to the Recombobulation area, subscribe to the Recombobulation area, and be a part of the fun, because it is a very, very interesting read. Dan Schaefer, thank you so much for being here. We will be right back. Matt and Air on Air, you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy. Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on